What I'm going to be doing this morning is first to describe Jung's interest in Gnosticism, then to give what I think is Jung's own interpretation of Gnosticism, and then, if I may be so bold, propose a corrective to that in Jungian terms, but still a corrective to Jung's own interpretation of Gnosticism. And I, being, as I apologetically said to Peter when we chatted last week, an egregious, hopeless academic, I'll probably be using the board more readily than some of the other speakers. Okay. The belief known as Gnosticism is definable in various ways. In the narrowest sense, it's merely an ancient Christian heresy. It existed a long time ago in the second century, and it eventually died out. There's a slightly broader definition of Gnosticism, and it's the second one that I think is the one that Jung himself uses, which is still keeping Gnosticism as an ancient phenomenon, but as more than a Christian one. Gnosticism here becomes both pre-Christian and non-Christian. It spans the whole ancient world, not just the Christian world, and really encompasses Christianity rather than is encompassed by it. The Nag Hammadi discovery, which June Singer mentioned last night in her talk, established virtually with certainty that however much broader Gnosticism might be beyond an ancient phenomenon, it's at least a more than Christian phenomenon, by which I mean there are Jewish and pagan as well as Christian versions of it. In this second sense, which I think roughly is the sense in which Jung himself uses the term, although most certainly I'll be concentrating on parallels between ancient Gnosticism and modern psychology for Jung, be assured, but this definition of Gnosticism itself is, again, I think, roughly the one that Jung himself assumes. Gnosticism here is the belief in dualism, but not just in dualism, but more specifically in radical or antithetical dualism, in which there are two sides, and the sides are not just distinct, but opposed. Now, I might add, especially given the focus by Dr. Singer last night on three parts of human nature, not only body and soul, but also spirit, what I'm going to be focusing on, just for simplicity's sake, are those brands of Gnosticism in which there are only two parts. I'm going, again, for simplicity's sake, to restrict myself to those brands of Gnosticism, which are really the more numerous, in which the division, which is why, therefore, I'd be entitled to call dualism, is simply into body and soul. But so there's no confusion between what I'll be focusing on and what Dr. Singer's focused on last night, and perhaps what subsequent speakers will be concentrating on. I'm by no means denying that certain brands of Gnosticism are not dualistic, but tripartite. What I'm, however, going to be concentrating on, just to move this along, are those brands of Gnosticism which are merely dualistic, in which, in other words, the division in the case of human beings is into body and soul, spirit being collapsed into soul, and in the case of the world in general, a division into matter on the one hand and immateriality on the other. I was told not to speak while I'm, that's not meant to be symbolic. I was told not to speak while I go to the blackboard because it's not being conveyed. It's not being taped. In the case of dualism, a case of Gnosticism by the second definition, both human beings and the world, human beings being a microcosm, are split into two parts, body on the one hand, soul on the other, and body is composed of matter, which is one of the two prime ingredients of the world at large. The other part of human beings is soul, which again is simply a portion of immateriality, or if one wants to speak of the world soul, the soul of the world as a whole. Now, by this second definition of Gnosticism, Gnosticism again still is an ancient phenomenon. In other words, it no longer exists among us. But again, it's by no means limited to Christianity. And so what scholars seek are cases of this belief in a radical dualism in certainly Christianity among other religions, but in Judaism and in paganism as well. And indeed, nowadays there are few scholars. There are some, but nowadays there are few scholars who stick to the tightest definition, that is, who refuse to find Gnosticism outside of Christianity. By a third definition, which really broadens the term, Gnosticism is not just an ancient phenomenon, it's also a modern one. Gnosticism is still among us today. It is living, not dead. By this third and broadest definition, Gnosticism constitutes the belief not necessarily in dualism, let alone in dualism of body and soul or matter and immateriality, but rather consists in alienation, the alienation of human beings from their true selves. Not necessarily the alienation of the world from itself, but more specifically the alienation of human beings alone from their true selves. The point is that humans here, by this broadest definition, are not necessarily alienated from a distinctively immaterial soul, let alone an immaterial world. Rather, they're simply alienated from a true core, a true self, a true essence, whatever the composition of that be.